Hey everybody, welcome to another season of Hey Fightin' Podcast, the official podcast of LSU football. As always, I'm Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. And that's right, we're on season three now of Hey Fightin' Podcast. And what better way to start season three than with the best number three to ever play for the LSU football Tigers? That's right, it's Kevin Faulk, LSU running backs coach, who we brought on this week for a very special reason. He played in a bunch of Super Bowls, and it's Super Bowl week. He played in 5-1-3 with the New England Patriots. He has unique insight into what's the name of that quarterback that plays for the Buccaneers? I can't remember his name. But he played with Kevin Faulk for a while. He's probably best known as being Kevin Faulk's teammate. And so he had some insight there, but also some insight into the many LSU Tigers who will be playing in the Super Bowl this Sunday. Six Tigers in the game. Let's see if I can do it off the top of my head. Tyrann Mathieu, Leonard Fournette, Darrel Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kevin Minter, and who am I forgetting? Devin White. Devin White, who is pretty much unforgettable this season with the way that he's been playing. Sorry, Saints fans. But that's the six Tigers that'll be in the Super Bowl. And I sat down with Kevin Faulk on Wednesday to talk about his memories of the Super Bowl, the experience of the Super Bowl, what those guys can expect, what it's like to watch those guys playing in the biggest games of their life. After that, I'm going to bring back a little bit of a throwback. It's also Rookie of the Year week in the NFL. I think Saturday the NFL will announce the Rookie of the Year. Justin Jefferson is one of the favorites to win that award. I think probably between him and Justin Herbert. That'd be the two guys with the best shot to win Rookie of the Year. Hopefully, Justin brings the award home. I think he deserves it. He had a great year this year for Minnesota. I'm going to bring back an interview that I did with Justin before the 2019 season. The reason I'm doing that is because I was listening to it for another project that we were working on, and it just struck me as kind of funny, just the expectations before that season, how different they were than from where the team ended up. I think we had questions about the offense that ended the season as unquestionably the best offense in college football history. There were questions about how good Justin Jefferson and that receiver room could be. By the end of the season, they were probably the best receiver core in college football history. So it was really interesting to me to hear Justin's perspective, talking about his past when people thought he was a walk-on when he first got to LSU. And now he's probably, or should win, in my opinion, in my very unbiased opinion, Rookie of the Year. So two interviews for today's show. I'm going to come back. Yes, I know the elephant in the room. There have been a bunch of coaching hires. I will talk about those. Honestly, I just got to go through and clip all the audio from like the a million press conferences they've done. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back with a coaching hires episode for episode two of season three of Hey Fightin' Podcast. But for now, enjoy episode one, and I'll throw it to my interview with LSU running backs coach and three-time Super Bowl champion, Kevin Faulk. All right, it's my pleasure to catch up with LSU running backs coach Kevin Faulk, legendary player, now a legendary coach, but was also a legendary player for the New England Patriots and a three-time Super Bowl champion, and it's a good time to catch up with you because it's Super Bowl week. LSU has the most players in the Super Bowl with six. I wanted to get your perspective on what this week is like, and we'll talk a little bit about some of this, the LSU stuff that's going on, and some of your running backs and some of the things we were talking about before. But I want to start with just Super Bowl conversation, and I'll start general. I know you have a lot of them, but what are some of the Super Bowl memories that from your time as a player that stick out with to you, and you know, whether it's a specific game or a moment or just general feeling?
Well, first off, being able to play. Being able to make it to the Super Bowl, that's just a memory in its own. Secondly, was the very first one that we played in was at home. Mm-hmm. It was in my home state, where I played a state championship, high school state championship there. Played a couple of other games there. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
To have the opportunity to go back a couple of years later and play in that one as well, and then be able to play in three more.
Mm-hmm.
From that, played in three, played in five, lost 2-1-3. Some guys play 13 years, 15 years, and don't make it to not one playoff game.
Yep.
And to have that opportunity was a blessing to me.
That first one, did you feel like, because I was a little bit younger then, but I remember the Patriots, that was kind of the start of the Patriots, right, as we know them now.
Right.
It was like the first stages of the Patriot way. Did you feel like, man, I'm going to be back in these all the time, or was it, you know, were vets coming to you and saying, hey, this is special, like, enjoy it because you may not get back here?
Oh, after that first one, it was kind of like that. It was, this was pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get back here again. And then that year goes by and you don't make the playoffs. The next year come by, you understand a little more. And
yeah.
The veteran guys know what's going on. So you prepare yourself more than coaching staff prepare yourself for it. But, nah, after that first one that we didn't make it, after that first Super Bowl, it was like, nah, we know what it takes to get there.
I was doing some research before. That was Super Bowl 36, I think, was the first one you played in, right? And or the first one that the Patriots made.
Right.
I can't ever keep the number straight in my head. That's why I had to write it down. But you had a quote in one of these stories that I read that you said the same thing. You're excited to be in your home state, hometown. But you didn't get to play in that game. Is that correct? I think during the week they had game plan some stuff for you, but you actually didn't get to play. Was that hard? Was that...
Well, I played in the game.
Okay.
But there was a package that we had in the game that... they were going to use for me. It was kind of like me coming out party, kind of doing the stuff that Marshall Faulk was doing with the Rams at that time. And it was very exciting. That whole week of practice ball, we was going at it, doing it. And something happened in the game. I forgot what I did. I might have missed a block or something, and they just took the whole package out. It was awful, but at the same time, you live and you learn.
Yeah, well, the reason I brought that up is because you had a quote you said, what I learned from that was you don't have to be a major part of the game to be successful. And so I thought about that in the context of the guys that are playing in this Super Bowl coming up. And I don't know what roles they'll play in. Like you said, it can be flexible, and that's got to be one of the hardest parts of the week is knowing where you're going to fit in. But you could have a guy like Devin White who's going to play every snap. You could have a guy like, I mean, even with Daryl and Clyde, they're going to be splitting snaps. They don't know if they're going to get 20 carries or two, right? So how do you... When you talk to those guys, I'm sure you talk to them. How do you give them? What advice would you give them, or have you given them about kind of keeping that focus and not worrying about, you know, if you're going to be a major part of the game plan or not?
Well, the crazy thing is, I developed a role for myself on the football team, and like all those guys developed a role for themselves on their football teams. The one thing you have to do is, and it's tricky because you can't put pressure on yourself because you kind of know that. All right, I'm going to have a certain amount of plays. I kind of know those plays I'm going to be in, but make those plays count. The more you feel like those plays that you were in and that you know you were going to be in and you made them count, that's that feel for you. That's your great feeling in you that I helped the team. It could have been one play, could have been two plays, but you helped the team no matter what.
Speaking of one play, what do you remember about Ride 34 Direct? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. What I remember, I better cheat my alignment inside a little bit because the ball is supposed to be snapped to me and I got to catch it and run a zone play inside.
So let's zoom back a little bit. For those who don't know the story, kind of tell the story about that play. I think it was the Panthers Super Bowl?
Yeah, second Super Bowl.
Y'all are playing the Panthers and y'all just scored to take the lead. You're up 27-22 in the fourth quarter and you need to get a two-point conversion, right? Because... Right. Makes it a 7-point game, and that would turn out to be a big part of the game because y'all won by a field goal later. 27-22, the play call comes in. I guess Tom Brady walks in and says, Ride 34 direct. Okay, and so what? Walk us through that play and what that play did for the game, what that play, what your memories are of that play, and what it meant to you.
Well, first off, when you hear that play, it's like, okay, got to get cheat. Like I said, you got to cheat it over. You got to be precise. You got to get the snap.
Yeah.
Get the snap down.
Because it's a direct snap to you.
Right. It's a direct snap to the running back. But it's a play that we work every week. Damn near every day of practice. Probably not going to get ran, but once or twice a year. Maybe three times, but probably not going to get ran too many times a year. But when it does get ran, you know it's an important time of the game. So you have to be ready to go with that play.
And so you scored the two-point conversion that helped y'all end up winning the game. That was your first score of the season, right, for that year? Did I read that correctly?
You got me with that one. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
And there wasn't too many touchdowns I scored.
Yeah. But to make that – is that the play that sticks out from all the Super Bowls you played in? Is that the one that stands out the most, or are there others that are in that mix as well? And, you know, maybe that's not a fair question because you play in five, there's probably so many specific memories, or maybe they all kind of blur together. How do you kind of look back on some of those moments?
There was, like you said, there's so many plays that sticks out in any one of those games that we played. It's how you say it. For me, the most exciting thing on a play in the Super Bowl for me was a block. You know, pass protection for the quarterback, because nobody really sees that. Mm-hmm. Nobody really, like, wow. that running back just crushed that linebacker.
Yeah.
Well, when you watch the film the next day, quarterback, offensive lineman, they going to acknowledge that to you. And that feeling there, it's a great feeling. You know, let you know you've done your job. You've done it well.
Yeah, spoken like a true patriot. That, it also reminds me of Clyde. I remember Clyde, I think it was before the national championship last year, and he's got a really cool opportunity now to play in a national championship one year and a Super Bowl the next year. But he was talking about his relationship with you. And I think he said the first conversation y'all ever had once you got hired, he had one question for you. And it was about what?
Blitz pickup.
Pass protection,
yes,
right?
Yes.
What I mean, how much, how cool is it to see someone like that, Clyde, who I know you have a good relationship with, grow from, I mean, I was looking back at a conversation I had with Clyde before last season, before 2019, and he was talking about, we were talking about role and, you know, what would be your role, how you balance this deep running back room. And then, like, you look back on it now, and it's like, how do you balance it? Clyde's one of the best running backs in the country, one of the best guys to come through here, one of the best guys in the NFL now. How cool is it to see his growth from where he was going into a national championship season ahead of last year, and then you got to coach him to where he is now playing in a Super Bowl?
I'm going to go even further. It's awesome to see his growth from high school to getting here. Like I tell a lot of people, I've been watching Clyde since high school. Whenever I came home to coach at Cameron Grove, it's just I don't know how it happened. Teams that we were playing, Catholic High played, and I got the chance to watch a lot of Catholic High's film of him doing a lot of stuff that coach was doing with Clyde at Catholic High at the time with our guys at Cameron Grove. So that started way back then, and then had the opportunity to come here. And like you said, that first conversation we had was about blitz pickup. And when that happened, that sparked up everything. The crazy thing is, when he came back to play a couple of weeks ago in the AFC Championship game, I was so excited for a play, and it wasn't even a play where he was running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It was a play where he was picking up the blitz right over the middle of the ball. I mean, right over the ball, and it was like, my wife was like, what are you screaming for? I'm like, Clyde picked up the blitz. Clyde, yes, he got a good shot. And you know, that's what our relationship is built off, a lot of that, you know, texting and like, hey, I seen it. I seen that pickup.
You talk about Clyde, and I'm talking to you, and you're a legendary running back here. It reminded me of, I think Derek Panamsky brought this up to me, and I may get the stat wrong, so if I'm wrong, correct me, but like, this will be the fourth LSU running back with Leonard Fournette that Tom Brady has started with in the NFL. So he with you, Stephen Ridley, Jeremy Hill, and now Leonard Fournette, right? I mean, and think about the generations that spans from you know, playing in the late 90s to, you know, Leonard and guys that were here, it feels like just the other day. What does that say about Brady and just the longevity he's had and the way he's lasted?
Man, this is a funny story because something that was talked about like 06, 07, 08, how he was eating, how he would train.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dwayne even said it because Dwayne played in the like 2000s, late 2000s.
Yep.
That you never seen Brady eat in the cafeteria. He always had his own food. He always had that healthy meal and it was like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I plan on playing past 45, bro. So I'm starting it right now. And as you can see, you could tell that he's getting older, but it's tough to say that he's losing a lot.
Yeah. How weird is it to see him in a Buccaneers uniform?
It was weird at the beginning.
Yeah.
At first. But after that, you tend to be like, all right, this is what happens.
Yeah.
If you play longer than, let's say, 10 years, the possibility of you playing at another team, it's going to be high.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
How cool was it for you then? You spent your whole career with one team, right? Patriots, started with the Patriots, ended with the Patriots. How cool was that? And, I mean, you talk about playing in 5 Super Bowls, not a lot of guys get that opportunity. I imagine even fewer guys get the opportunity to play, how many seasons, 11?
13
seasons with one team. How cool is that?
Oh, that was cool, real cool. That was something that at the beginning of your career, you're like, dang, I want to try to play at one place for the rest of my career. And guys are like, sorry, buddy, that ain't going to happen. And as the time goes by, it's like, wow, okay, I'm still here. And when year 13 came and that was over with, and I'm trying to come back to play year 14. It's like, I'm really trying to play 14 years here. But it didn't work out. But it's like one of those things, man. You try to, but it's hard.
Yeah. Do guys, I don't know, I'm curious, do any players here, whether they're quarterbacks or anybody else, come to you and ask you about guys like Brady or guys that you played with, and or even yourself? Obviously, you've had a lot of success, and just the tricks that, you know, the tools, the insights that they can use to get to the next level. Because you talked about Brady, and I think somebody at some point had asked you about Joe Burrow, Tom Brady comparisons. I know Joe never liked those comparisons, but you talked about their preparation. I'm just curious if the guys in here, I mean, you're as valuable an asset as you are, do they come in here and say, hey, tell me about your career. Tell me about what you learned from Brady, what you learned from Belichick.
Early, when I first got here, was, yeah, you know, yeah, guys come in. But now it's just, I'm coach.
Yeah.
I'm Coach Falk. Like the running backs, they know they'll come in here. We meet once or twice a week, and it could be a conversation about life in general, not just about football.
Going back to just the Super Bowl experience, how different, I mean, you've been through a national championship now as a coach, and that week or that even the semifinals, that kind of couple of weeks is pretty wild ride. I got to imagine the Super Bowl is just in a different ballpark, though. What's the week like, or the 2 weeks of media and people wanting tickets and just kind of the hype that surrounds the whole thing, and you're trying to practice, and then you get to the game and you've got like a longer pregame show and a longer halftime show. How is it just juggling all that? What do you remember about that?
The one thing about that, you got to remember, you're playing the game. Don't worry about the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing Coach always told us, Coach Belichick always told us about. Hey, if you are able and fortunate enough to make it to that big game, remember why you're there. Mm-hmm. You're there to play the game, not to entertain the circus.
So we talked about specific plays. What do you remember about, like, just the scale of the game? I think I read something about all the camera flashes, like, as the kickoff is coming. Once you're in the game, does it feel like a normal game? Or do you still feel the pressure, the stakes, all that stuff?
At the beginning of the game, like, that first kickoff when all those flashes going, you try to talk about that to the guys, because sometimes it is overwhelming to see all the flashes in the stands for the Super Bowl, which you won't see that this year.
Yeah.
You only got, what, 25,000?
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a little something that really is distracting. But at the end of the day, when the ball is kicked off, after that first kickoff, it's still a football game, and you got to treat it that way.
Have you talked to any of the guys? I don't need you to share private conversations, but have they reached out and asked about your memories, your advice, or is it one of those kind of things where – you're in the moment, you've got your teammate, and you kind of batten down the hatches and really focus on the task at hand?
I'm that type of guy. This is your moment.
Yeah.
If there's an important question or something, definitely I will, you know, answer the question. But this is their moment. You want them to live that moment. You want them to experience that moment themselves without, you know, somebody say, hey, man, if you could do this, you could do that. Nah.
Yeah.
Experience your moment. That's your moment.
How are you going to watch the game? Like, Coach O had a great quote about who you pulling for. He said, I'm pulling for the Tigers, man. Like, because we got guys on both sides. We got Devin White, and we got Leonard Fournette, and we got Darrell Williams. We got guys on both sides. How do you sit there and watch the game, and especially this game that you've played in? You know this game, and then you know some of the guys that are out there for us.
Same way I watch an NFL game right now, because I got a lot of former teammates that play on different teams, and you got to cheer for both teams. It's going to be difficult. Like, you want Clyde to win.
Mm-hmm.
You want Dow to win. You want Tyron to win. You want Leonard to win. You want Devin, Kevin. You want all those guys to win. But there's one thing that I have that's a little more. I have a teammate on the Buccaneers team, a former teammate that I played 12 years with in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's like a brother. So, and what he's trying to accomplish is a little more.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm rooting for him a little more, but at the same time, I'm a Tiger.
Yeah. Are you one of those guys that the two that you lost bother you more than the three that you enjoy, or do you really enjoy those three?
Not since I'm finished, no.
Yeah.
I'm done. Those two, I try not to think about the negatives.
Yeah.
But I can tell you why we lost those games, but I'm done with those.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. You've won a national championship as a coach. You won three as a Super Bowl. How similar are the, you know, you were playing in the three Super Bowls. You were coaching for the one college football national championship. But how similar or different were those experiences?
Not really similarity. Very much different from me and my standpoint, because I wasn't preparing for the game, the actual game. I was preparing someone else or trying to prepare someone else for that big game and trying to get them to understand what that game meant, not just to them,
yep,
but to this program,
mm-hmm,
at that point.
Yeah. I'll kind of pivot and move on from the Super Bowl talk and just talk about your team right now and your running backs. I walked in, and I hope you don't mind me reading off your board here, but it said running backs were catching 100 balls each day. Obviously, the way that offense has changed now, and you were kind of at the forefront of that as an NFL player, the pass-catching running back. I think you had 7 catches in one of those Super Bowls, and that's been a huge part of the offense with Clyde in 2019, even last year with the catches getting distributed around. How much of an emphasis is that this offseason, getting your guys catching passes?
Very much so. You see it on the board. Yep. It was something that we want to try to get done last year, but with COVID, kind of interfere with it. But now that we actually do have a little semblance of an offseason, we're going to try to catch. Now, that 100 balls is a little too much, like I told you before. We're probably going to catch about 50 to 60 of those and try to get to about 3,500 before spring practice.
Yeah, see, I joked about it because, you know, 100, you start doing the math. If you catch 100 balls for 100 days, that gets you to 10,000, which was the number. A couple years, but that's a lot. 100 balls is, I mean, you sit there and catch 100 balls. I guess y'all use that little seeker machine, the quarterback seeker machine.
However they can do it. If you got to throw to yourself, you got to use the jug machine, however you can do it, man. Just get 100 balls in, awesome balls in.
Yeah, how did you develop that skill set when you were coming up? Because you didn't have that seeker machine.
I'll tell you, when I was younger, I couldn't afford no football, so it was a roll of tape that I would just be throwing up in the air,
wow,
catching it. Throwing to myself, catching it. And then I knew when I was young, I always wanted to be a receiver. I kind of didn't grow into that body.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed into a running back body, but mm-hmm. it is what it is.
Yeah. The guys that you have in the room this year, I know it's early. I know you got a spring to go through. How do you feel about your running backs that you got coming in next season?
I love what we have coming in next season. Like we talked about earlier at the beginning of this year, that last year was unacceptable. No matter if we were the cause of it or if we weren't the cause of it, at the running back group, that was unacceptable. So every little thing that we do right now matters. Everybody's on a clean slate. We trying to find that guy. We trying to find that guy that wants to be the guy here.
Give us your Super Bowl prediction. I'm kidding. You don't have to give us a Super Bowl prediction. I'm not gonna put you on the spot like that.
Some LSU Tigers going to win the Super Bowl. I'm just not sure which one it is.
Okay. I'm not allowed to gamble, I don't think, on the NFL because of the fact that I work at LSU, but I think that's a pretty safe bet that an LSU Tiger's going to get a Super Bowl ring.
Trust me, you better not be gambling, man. That's not good.
Hey, do you have the most rings from LSU Tiger? 3? I should know that, but...
I don't know.
I bet you do.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm thinking... Mike had asked me to bring. I totally forgot about it, and I went home last week too. I totally forgot about it, but I remember to bring them at one point.
Yeah, I think the photographers want to get some pictures of them for posterity's sake. Coach, appreciate your time, appreciate your patience, and looking forward to seeing some Tigers join you in the Super Bowl Winners Club.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you. All right, sitting here with LSU junior wide receiver Justin Jefferson. Justin, you come from a family of LSU football names. I don't know if there's ever been 3 brothers to play at LSU, certainly as high profile as you and your brothers. Take me back to the beginning, when you're a little kid, your first football memories in a household that obviously football was very important.
It was just crazy. Me going in as a young age, seeing Jordan come and play at this big of an atmosphere. And just watching him just beat different teams, Alabama, Florida.
Twice.
So, you know, just watching that just had me thinking like, oh, man, I can't wait till I get on this level and be on the field like he's on the field.
Yeah.
And just growing up, just watching every move they make and then just going off of their moves. And it definitely helped me tremendously. Coming into college,
they seem like your biggest fans. Like Ricky on Instagram, like anytime I post something about you, he's liking it, he's commenting, and I know Jordan is the same way.
Right.
How cool is that to have the support of your brothers as you're coming up and making your own name for yourself?
It's great. You know, I'm very grateful that, you know, God gave me a beautiful family, tremendous supporters like Jordan, Ricky, and my mom and dad. And I mean, they're with me every step of the way. So, you know, I'm just happy that they're just supporting me like I was supporting them.
Yeah. What's your first, like, LSU memory? Like, what games do you remember
from your childhood? Because I've seen some pictures where, I mean, you're really little at some of these games. What do you remember about those days?
I definitely remember Jordan beating Alabama at Alabama.
Yeah, 11.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Were you there?
I was there. And it went crazy because it was only field goals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole game was intense. And it was definitely one of the best games I've seen while I was, you know, watching LSU games.
I mean, it's one of the best games of the century. Right. I mean, it's literally called the game of the century. Were you around the program a lot in those days as a little kid? Were you kind of running around or were you doing your own thing?
Oh, yes. I was definitely running around because Coach Miles was here when Jordan and Ricky was here. So. Yeah. I was with Ben Miles, so I was just running around with Ben and just enjoying my little time around LSU. So my parents never even knew where I was at. I was just going.
It's a good place to grow up. Did you want to be a quarterback? Because I've seen you out there throwing just, you know, during drills, and you got a nice arm. You throw a nice tight spiral. Did you think you were going
to
be a quarterback?
I used to be a quarterback at first. I used to be a quarterback until – you know, I got to high school. Then that's when I started playing receiver. That's when I started, you know, just coming up. And, you know, I started out small, so I wasn't, you know, built for being a high school quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was very small. But, you know, as time went on, you know, I grew, I got stronger, got faster. So, you know, receiver really had fit me. And then me growing up, seeing Jordan throw the ball all the time. So I was like, man, I want to be like Jordan. I want to throw the ball. So, and then seeing Ricky in high school being a receiver.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just got both sides of it. So it was nice to see them go through it before me.
How competitive were y'all as kids? I mean, I know there's a little bit of an age gap, but there's got to be some competition going on.
Every single day. Every single day. Our whole family is like that, actually. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, us three. So even my dad is competitive. We still play basketball to this day. Like, he's 52 years old. So, like, I don't
know. Who's the best basketball player in the family?
I'll have to give it to Jordan. Jordan grew up. He was the main basketball player.
Okay.
Before, you know, all of us. So, you know, Jordan was the first to – No, Jordan did the AAU, the All-Stars. Okay. He did all that.
Because
my dad played basketball at first at Nebraska.
Okay.
So, you know, we was a basketball family at first. And then, you know, Jordan was like, man, let me try football. So then he tried it. Then Ricky tried it.
Yeah.
Then I tried it. So
he was the trendsetter.
Speaking
of basketball, who can play basketball on this team, on the football team? Who are the best basketball players? Give me like a starting five.
Starting five. I'm a good basketball player. Terrace Marshall. Justin Thomas is good.
That's what I've heard. I've heard Justin Thomas can play.
Who else? Let me see.
Who's the point guard? Who's distributing the ball? Who's creating for others?
That's a good question. I'll probably have to say me.
Okay.
I'll probably be the point. Yeah, I can, you know, shoot. I can pass it.
Uh-huh.
But I'll say Terrace is probably the shooting guard.
Okay. He's got a nice stroke.
Yes. When Giles was here,
I've heard Giles could shoot it.
He can shoot it so good. I don't know how, but it goes
in. Well, I think his dad was like a director of ops at a school or something, and he just – spent all day in the gym shooting.
I don't know, but he had a strap on him. I don't know what it was. I don't know, but he was hitting them from deep. I don't know how.
When you showed up at LSU, I heard you talking about this somewhere else. Did people think you were a walk-on when you first got here?
Yeah, because I came like the second day of fall camp.
Okay.
So I was like, they didn't have any more lockers, so I had to go in like 118. So, like, I mean, people knew me because I was, you know, Jordan, Ricky's brother. But it was like, oh, yeah, you a walk-on.
Yeah.
Stuff like, I'm not a walk-on. Like, where you get that from?
Well, part of that was your size, too. You came in at what, like 170, 175?
175.
Wow.
Yeah, I was small. So, you know, working with Coach Moffitt and his staff and them putting me on the weight gain program, and I'm like 195.
I was about to say, you look bigger now. What did you do to gain all that weight?
Just following the process that, you know, they giving me, you know, just having to eat more than I've been eating before, and, just stick to the protein and, just really just follow the pace of lifting weights and, doing all that extra stuff with them.
You really broke out last year. What was kind of the high moment of the season for you when you look back at it and sort of the highlight of the year? What was the low moment too? Like, what was kind of the highs and lows of the season for you?
The highs were, you know, just getting the ball a lot, just having the year I had, especially as a sophomore, and just having the yards that I had.
Did you expect that at all? Because coming into the season, you weren't really like a household name outside of the program, and we had seen some things inside the program that, like, okay, this guy can play. He's a great route runner. He's got great hands. But did you expect to have the most productive season since Jarvis and Odell?
Not at all. You know, my freshman year, you know, I was watching DJ, you know, Russell Gage. So just having them as my guiders and having them, like, you know, talk to me every single day, like, this is what you need to do. Just be patient with your, like, with your game. Just work hard. And just listening to them and then going into my sophomore year, you know, it was like, you know, can I be the top guy? Can mm-hmm. I be on this level? You know, but just watching myself go from, you know, freshman year being a small, no name, a walk-on mm-hmm. to, you know, a big name that, you know, a few people know, and just having the year that I had, you know, just beating these big teams that, mm-hmm. you know, like Georgia and the other, you know.
I remember after the Auburn game, you were particularly excited after that game because you had talked about growing up and watching games, and that's a place that LSU historically right. hasn't won there. You may have been the right. first Jefferson brother to win there. I'd have to look back at it.
Yeah.
But I remember you were really excited after that one as well.
Oh, yes. You know, because, you know, Cam Newton was playing when Jordan was there.
Yeah.
So just going to Auburn and seeing that, and then I think Ricky had got blown out
yeah.
one time,
yep.
by like 40. And just going in there, just watching for 8 years, you know, LSU versus Auburn. I knew it was a big game. Then it was a daytime game.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being in that environment, you know, because, you know, Auburn fans, they're loud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a great atmosphere, but just going in there and then winning away, that's, you know, a big-time thing for us and especially for me.
So, something that Joe Brady talked about this offseason was the mentality that y'all have in that wide receivers room. And I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said, but he said something like, you know, I'll be damned if Jarvis and Odell and Dwayne Bowe and anyone that's played here before is going to watch our guys on Saturday and not see that mentality right. continued. What do you think that mentality is?
Every single day, you know, we try to outdo the other person. So say Jamar catches in one hand. Okay, I'm trying to catch a better one-hander. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, every day we try to pump each other up and just, you know, having like people like Odell and Jarvis, Dwayne Bowe come here, you know, that's, you know, everything is DBU. So, you know, we just try to make that receiver name for us and try
WRTS.
To, right. It got to be that for us. So, you know, we just trying to make big plays and set records here.
One of the things that sets you apart, and there's two things in my opinion that set you apart, is how well you run routes and then the way that you can catch going either way. You can flow left, you can flow right. How did you develop those skills, specifically the route running? Because I remember there's like a high school clip of you at a camp where you like you hit like a double move on somebody
yeah,
and dropped
yeah.
them and everyone just went
right.
crazy. Is that something that came natural to you? Is that something you had to kind of work on your craft a little bit?
Work on my craft. You know, having Jordan as a quarterback, you know, he tells me, you know, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do.
And yeah.
we have a big, huge yard next to our house. So, you know, every single day we're out there throwing the ball. And, you know, my dad, when Jordan wasn't there, you know, all right, let's go outside in the yard, let's work on some routes,
mm-hmm.
let's work on some catching, let's, you know, let's do this to help you, let's do that. Because, you know, I wasn't a receiver, so, you know, I wasn't really used to running routes like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was athletic enough to do it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I wasn't really comfortable with running routes like that because I've been throwing the ball all my life. So, you know, just having them work with me and having Ricky as a receiver, you know, watching videos of Odell,
yeah.
Jarvis running routes.
Good guys to watch.
Right. So just watching them just helped me. And then me going on the field and doing what they do.
I want to try something with you we haven't done with anybody yet, so you're the first, you're the experiment. We're going to do a little word association, okay? I'm going to say a name. I want you to just give me the first word that comes to mind and just kind of expand on it, okay? So let's try this out, see how it goes. All right, first name, Jamar Chase.
Crazy. He's a crazy guy. And, you know, he's a great guy. He's probably one of the, you know, one of the few players that I connect with the most. And having him, he's a goofy person. And, you know, he's a great teammate. He's a great player. And he's definitely going to be a big name, you know, especially this year.
Yeah, he's looked really, really good so far during camp.
He's been working. Yeah, he's been working every single day. And, you know, we try to outdo one another. So just having that mentality and having that go-getter attitude every single day at practice, you know, trying to make big plays on on our defense. And, you know, we just like having fun out there.
Terrace Marshall.
He's a goofy guy as well, and we joke with him every single day. But he's a great guy, great person, great teammate. And just having him on the other side, well, on the same side as me most of the time, with the Jamar, and we're gonna be so dominant at the receiver core. And I mean, we're gonna put some fear in the defense's eye this year. And we're gonna throw the ball, Joe has the connection with all of us, so we're gonna put up some big numbers this year.
Speaking of Joe Burrow,
he's a funny guy. He's a strange guy.
he's a little quirky.
He's a strange guy. We tell him that every single time we see him. We're like, Joe, you're really strange, bro.
give me an example, just a random everyday strange thing that kind of, or maybe the most recent one that comes to mind.
One he comes in the huddle every single time. He says, "Hi guys." Like, what is this? We like, "Hello, Joe. How you doing?" But he's a funny guy. He's a great guy. But he's a go-get-it person. He has that go-get-it mentality. And you know, he wants to win as well, as much as we do. And you know, he's a great quarterback. He sees things that other quarterbacks don't see.
Yeah.
And he likes, you know, breaking down coverages. He likes coming to us, telling us what he wants and, you know, what would be good with the offense and the routes that we're running. So having that quarterback and having that connection with him is going to be a good for us.
Fellow Destrehan alum, John Emery.
he's a great back, you know. Him as a freshman, seeing what he does against the defense, our defense, is just going to be crazy. The way he moves, the way he, you know, gets into space, it's crazy how he moves, and you know, he moves so smooth, so fluent, yeah. And he definitely has the ability to play this year. And, you know, especially with me knowing him since I was smaller, you know, I hope he, you know, have his mind right and to, you know, come to practice, come to the games with that attitude that he wants to run over everything. So, you know, I'm excited for him this season.
All right, be careful with this one. Joe Brady.
he's a fun guy. You know, being able to connect with him is just going to be wonderful for us. I mean, we laugh all day with each other. You know, our whole room, just that fun attitude. Then him being 29 years old,
yeah, younger than me,
right? So just having that young quarterback, having to like connect with him, just like, I mean, we talk to him just like we talk to any one of our teammates. So having that type of coach and, you know, laughing all the time, just going out there, having fun. That's one of the main things he, you know, preach about us, just going out there, having fun, just being together as a group. And just, you know, I mean, he's definitely a good guy, good coach.
I'll start wrapping up here and get you out of here. One thing that I've noticed with you guys this year is the emphasis on catching the ball and not dropping the ball. And he's doing all these drills where you stand behind a door and you open the door. I know y'all did some eye tracking stuff. I'm writing a story about that. Just how much of an emphasis has that been? I know it seems simple, but y'all did have a few drops last year. You want to cut that number down. Mm-hmm. What have you been working on to try to make sure that, you know, you don't have any drops, that the rest of the guys in the room don't have any drops?
You know, we started off, well, at the beginning of the summer, he said, let's get on the jugs. Let's get 10,000 balls this year, this summer. So we was like 10,000 balls. That ain't nothing. We started catching jugs. We was like, dang, 10,000 kind of a lot. But he was like, you know, we got to catch the balls this year. We're going to be throwing the ball a lot. You know, we got to make those tough catches. You know, we always got to, you know, the main thing, we always got to make the quarterback look good. So, you know, just doing these different drills, different eye coordinations, it definitely helped me because I don't think I dropped the ball yet. I probably dropped like one ball this practice.
Yeah.
Everybody is just having these tremendous catches, you know, over defensive backs. Like, I mean, him having us go through these different little drills, different eye coordinations, it definitely helped all of us without catching up.
What's your favorite drill that you've done?
The open door, that was definitely new for me. I was like, bro, you gonna hit me with the ball. But you know, as time went on, the more we did it, the more comfortable I felt with it. And you know, it helped me definitely, you know, because that's just like having like a defensive back waving in front of your face. So you know, doing these different drills, and him coming here with, you know, drills we haven't even done before, you know, it helped, definitely helped us a lot.
All right, man, it was awesome talking to you. Looking forward to seeing you on the season, seeing you on the field this season. Good talking to you, man. Appreciate it.
It's something you're born into. It's in your DNA. It's more than what you do or where you're from. It's who you are. The game you love would take you places you've never imagined.
With the 5th pick.
With the 32nd pick.
With the 69th pick.
The place you're from?
The Boo Bib LSU.
Will always be a part of you.
What a move, a spin, and touchdown!
It's Williams up ahead.
Tampa brings pressure.
Intercepted by Minter.
Breeze throws, and he's picked by Devin White.
Edwards.
There's Edwards.